This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And CISO.
Hello and welcome to Seagull Social Season 4 episode, I think it's 34, but I wrote 35 on the Riverside tab, so I can't actually remember, so someone in the comments can probably correct me which one it is, but I think it's 34, it could be 35, but all that really matters is, ladies and gentlemen, we are finally back to winning ways over Nottingham Forest. It's a double over the boys from the Midlands. But before we get into all that stuff, Maz and Jack were joined by, because Ben is working, I believe, or he's doing something. But Jack, it's good to see you healthy and back at the football as always.
Yeah, all good now. Don't need to hear any more stories of knife crime, and I'm on the mend now, so I'm feeling a lot better. Yeah, milked it, got my leg moving. Yeah, leg's still feeling a little sore, but other than that, it's all good. It's all good.
Nice one, mate. And Maz, how are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks, mate. I'm good. Yeah, considerably in better nick than Jack is. Thank the Lord. But I am much happier now that we've also got a win. It was a bit of a tight one, a bit of a, you know, not I wouldn't say nervy, but it was a tight one, obviously a 1-0 win, and yeah, in much better spirits than 4-0 away to Rome. So
yeah, I mean, don't take much doing.
How about you?
I'm better. It's the last four games have been pretty rough, and I think this is where I'm going to start, actually, because a lot of people, particularly people in the West Stand and people on Twitter even, seemingly saying that they thought it was a scrappy game. They thought we maybe, you know, wanted to see more and all that sort of stuff. But I think when you see the reaction of De Zerbi and co on the touchline at full time, I think you can tell that it was probably not so scrappy as people maybe think. But I just want to get your honest, sober thoughts, Jack, because for the first time ever at a game, you didn't have a drink. That must be pretty mad.
Yeah, I know.
That's an incredible stat, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Well, because I'm on antibiotics, I couldn't have an alcohol, so I might actually give something thoughtful and insightful rather than, you know, threats towards the referee or just saying I don't like players for no reason. I actually did think it was quite a scrappy. Yeah, exactly. I did think it was a really scrappy game, actually. I've been a little critical of De Zerbi recently that he hasn't really just gone back to basics and just ground out wins. And I was actually really pleased that he did just go back to basics this week and just kind of get a win, because that's what we need to get some confidence. I think we've got this big thing of that after we lose badly, we win really well, whereas that just didn't seem to be working for a little bit. We lost 3 in a spin, probably for the first time under him. So I think it was really good to just see us sort of, you know, against a team who was slightly industrial, down the bottom of the table, and just sort of, I think we didn't really have to try, and I thought we were quite easy towards the end. But just sort of go back to basics, get through, nothing flashy, and just win the game, really.
Maz, your thoughts? Well, I mean, yeah, I'll get onto the general basis in a minute, but sorry, yeah, it's just that concept of, I actually thought it was nice to see us just go back to that grinding out a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%. I like that. I like that we did that. And I think this was, like I said, I was a bit critical of the Zerbi for not being able to do that. But I like that we were able to do that. And I think that's a good thing that we're able to do that.
Yeah, 100%. I think going back to Jack's point about, you know, the Zerbi not being as, what's the word? I don't think he was open to criticism. Like, I think as fans, we sometimes think we can't criticise a manager who's done well for us, but I think we're well within our right to point out when he has made some wrong decisions or he has approached games in certain ways. So I think, yeah, I agree with Jack. I was happy that he went back to basics, a back four. We looked much more solidified. We looked better. We created chances as well. Obviously, you know, Belaba looked good. We had some individual players that looked really good. Of course, Pascal Gross, as per usual with his deliveries, was really good. We looked really dangerous with set pieces as well, which was interesting. You know, that was good. Obviously not as good as Arsenal, sadly. But yeah, there was elements of the game where I thought, do you know what? This is nice. We're actually looking a bit more threatening going forward, a bit more safe at the back. And Verbruggen as well. Shout out to him. He made some really big saves as well. Some key saves, especially, I think, the one in the second half, the one in the first half as well. Yeah, just a really good all-round performance from most people. And some shine-out stars as well, like Belaba looked really good. Mm. Yeah, there was just some good individual performances, and we looked much, much better than we did in Rome anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is what I wanted to see. And I know that maybe it sounds a little bit boring, and, you know, obviously Brighton fans have become so accustomed to us just going and scoring 4 or 5, and if we concede 3 in the process, then that's it. But I don't know. I just wanted to see us win a game, keep a clean sheet is even better. But I don't know. I know it's only 1-0, but obviously the way that the sort of demolition of Nottingham Forest wasn't just in the goals, was it? I mean, it was the passing throughout pretty much the entirety of the game. I thought we looked a lot more sort of composed. I thought we were a lot more compact. I thought it let Belaba not, for example, get dragged out of position. There wasn't huge gaps like we saw in Rome, and probably in a lot of games actually recently we've seen a lot of gaps. So yeah, we'll start with that, Jack, because I mean, Belaba, what a player he's looking to be. I mean, he's only 19 still. It's important to remember. He's taken a bit of time to settle, but every bit of proof yesterday that we've got a little mini Yaya Toure on our hands if he's going to live up to that potential.
Yeah, I think yesterday is really important for him with no Gilmore. Moda came in as well, who had quite a mixed game. Arguably shouldn't have been on the pitch, but I think he did quite well considering. I think he's taken some flack at times that he didn't bring that much to the game. And I thought it was a really good performance from the midfield three. They controlled it without being too flashy about it. I think Gross was sort of back to his natural position of sort of being almost like a sort of number eight, sort of free role sort of. He could just sort of really do what he wanted while Belaba sort of, some of his interception working, some of his turning, sort of he'd be on the turn and go straight forward. He was really good at sort of ball carrying, almost like a, you know, like what Adam Webster has done for us in previous times, where he sort of carried it forward and just brought it a little bit further forward.
And Van Hecker sort of, now as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I thought he did really, really well in that role. I think another big shout out has to go to, Belaba, I think, just furthermore on Belaba is that you've just got to play him. If you want him to do well, he's such a raw talent, he has to play games. And I think another thing that arguably, and I don't want this to just be, I've been criticising De Zerbi for this, but was that when he has said he's not ready, it's sort of been in the back of my mind, well, you've just got to play him. If he's not ready, then how's he going to get minutes? Because he's not going to get minutes playing for the under-23s or anywhere else or just sitting on a bench. So I'm really, really pleased he had a good game. He seemed to really enjoy it. He seems like a very likeable guy. He seems like a very excitable child almost at times. And
he
seemed to really enjoy it at the end of the game where he was doing fish pumps and everything. But I think a huge shout out has to go to just going back to our really basic back four that we've done so well with before, which was, Dunk, Van Hecker, Purvis even looked better than he has been. Sort of more settled in that back four, but I think the main player who came back in that back four who really changed it and is just such a solid player who, despite, and once again, I don't think he was particularly outstanding, but Joel Veltman just seemed to really, he just makes us so much more solid. And even then he made mistakes, but I think we just look like a much more solid team when we got Joel Veltman at right back.
Yeah, Jack made a few points there, but do you think maybe the the concept of Belaba starting more games. Obviously, we've got Gilmore coming back for the foreseeable now, provided he doesn't get sent off or injured. You know, you've got Gross, Gilmore, Belaba. Is that a starting trio for you now for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, the jury's still out for Moda, I think. Don't get me wrong, I think he's definitely a useful asset for the squad. You did cut out, to be fair, so I didn't actually know what you said. But, in terms of, like, the midfield three, I think, yeah, you need the balance, I think. And I think Belaba brings that. I think Gross obviously does what we all know he does. He's so good at just being, Jack said earlier, about his role looking a bit more natural rather than being shoehorned into like a right back or right wing back or wherever he seems to play nowadays. Seeing him back in his more natural position was great. Belaba brings that energy, that fitness, the sort of, like you said, that ball carrying progression as well. And then you've got, I don't know, Billy Gilmore for me, he has to be in there as well. Just because, yeah, we all know what kind of talent and sort of skills he brings to the team. So I think for me, that would be my sort of starting three in an ideal world would be Belaba, Gross and Gilmore. And I think, yeah, he does need time. Belaba does need time. I think still, he's still got a long way to go. But yeah, how else are you going to get experience? The only way you can get experience is by playing. And he doesn't look like he's going to send him out alone. He might do next season. I'll be surprised if he does. But you never know. These things can happen. And they might look to think, right, let's just get him a year solidly playing. But I think he's definitely got a place here. Definitely next season as well. Alongside, let's say, Billy Gilmore and then having Pascal Gross in front of him. But if Gross goes back to Germany, you know, that's going to be a big hammer blow. Hopefully he doesn't. But yeah, if that he does go, then we're gonna have to think about how do we set the team up and who goes into what position, and having that balance, as I said earlier, I think is really key. So yeah, that's what I definitely want to see him play more for sure. Belaba.
Get that Dewsbury Hall bid in as soon as possible. No, I just said. but yeah, I think it's interesting with Belaba, as you said, Jack. I mean, the ball carrying to me was. The turn of pace, you know, that's probably something that we haven't seen so much. He's very athletic. I think there was a couple of passes where he received it quite deep, similar to how Caicedo used to. But we haven't really replaced that sort of deep receiver since Caicedo left, to be honest. And there was a couple of balls that got probably played to him maybe a little bit too strongly from Verbruggen at times, but he's sort of just done enough to get it away and out wide. So that's going to be really, I think, for me anyway, but beneficial. But we'll talk about Verbruggen a little bit because he made a couple of good saves in that first half. But maybe there is a point there that still is much better with his feet. I think that still remains. I think that still stands. Mm-hmm. But certainly as a shot stopper, Jack, it's nice to see, you know, a clean sheet, but also some of the saves he made were very important.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Jason Steele's number one fan here. Many arguments on Twitter about Jason Steele, and I still think Jason's got a lot to add. I think he's great experience. I think he's really good with his feet, but I think Verbruggen's really starting to show that his shot stopping experience is really, or shot stopping ability is really, really good. I think it was really, you know, it's this goalkeeper rotation that I'm not 100% sure on. I do think we should stick with one, and 100%. the stats are showing that Verbruggen is the better one, and we're getting better results with Verbruggen, but he did look a little bit shaky with his feet at times yesterday. I think there were one or two misplaced passes, but at the end of the day, they were batted away, and he probably prevented two or three goals with some of his saves yesterday. So, yeah, it's good to see that. And also Verbruggen, how much he cost? 20 million. He's 21 years old. He's a young goalkeeper. It's really good to see that money's going to good value and that he's developing as a player. I think next season he's got to stay as number one, and be number one with a whole pre-season of getting used to how to play the ball with his feet. Maybe we could bring back one of the other goalkeepers as a sort of second choice, someone like maybe Rushworth or Beadle. It still remains to see how they're going to push to the first team, and then still to hang around as third choice. And that almost seems disrespectful because of what a good servant he has been, considering, you know, what part of the club he's been in. But I'd like to see Verbruggen start going forward. But of course, De Zerbi probably not going to listen to me and change it around. And I'm more than happy to accept that if results keep on going well.
I think on that as well, Jack, like this whole rotation of keepers, I think genuinely it has been a key factor in why we haven't probably done as well, let's say, this season. I think having that stability at the back, like we've seen it with Ramsdale and Raya at Arsenal. I think having that rotation has just not been good for the side. Why would you want to sort of mess with the fluidity and the what's called consistency of the goalkeepers and the team itself? Because I feel like that's been a huge thing for us. Because, for example, what was it after the Sheffield United game when Verbruggen got that clean sheet? Then he gets dropped for Steele the next game. It's like, what does that say to the goalkeeper? You know, what kind of message are you giving to the goalkeeper? And I think that has been a factor for sure.
You can see the fault in it, though. And I think that's the only thing which I've got that's still probably in favour of De Zerbi. You can see, like, I think, who did he get dropped for? Steele got dropped for the Fulham game, wasn't it? No, for the Wolves game.
It was in for
game.
Fulham.
You know, it's Yeah.
He was in for Fulham and Wolves.
Yeah. And I think it's more, you can see why Steele is maybe playing in some of the bigger games when they're going to press us more, because if you've got the ball at your feet and he's going to have more time on the ball if the team is pressing us and we want to move around that press, whereas Verbruggen will want to play against the teams like Sheffield United and Nottingham Forest, who probably are a little bit more physical and will be putting balls into the box and will just be having shots from range when you least expect it. But the problem is that those other clubs are also still having shots from range. So, yeah, I get the thinking, and that's what I kind of, which is kind of the only thing, but I just don't think it's working. I don't think it's working.
Yeah. I think that's it, isn't it?
I think
you can see the vision, but it's just not working.
100%.
Yeah. I think most of us have been sort of torn, haven't they? I mean, I've tried to back it as well, and I think, I don't know. I do think that Steele's better with his feet. But if you're talking as a goalkeeper, if you want to really take it back in time to a goalkeeper as a goalkeeper who makes saves and stops the ball from going into the net, then Verbruggen is that guy. But I don't know. We'll see. I wouldn't put it past De Zerbi to change it again before the end of the season. I wouldn't imagine he just sticks with Verbruggen as number one as much as we all want it to happen. Just because, as you say, Jack, I think Steele has more to offer.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to sound mental, but I do think Steele will start in net on Thursday. And that is only because I think he'll start because De Zerbi will see it as, in an ideal situation, when we're pressing for 5-0, that we're going to have more time on the ball. And that's why he'll want Steele to be in goal. And I get that thinking, but I just think he should play Verbruggen. Yeah, maybe De Zerbi listens to this. Who bloody knows? But I don't think he does.
Maldera's watching, mate. Yeah.
Maldera might be. Andrea. We'll move on from the Verbruggen-Steele thing. It's probably one of the most draining debates that's been in Brighton's heads for a long time, especially after we actually won the game. So we'll move on. There's not too much to really report in regards to the actual game because, as I say, it was just one of those where we had to just pass it around them. So I'll get your thoughts on that one instead, actually. Do you think that sometimes, I don't know, this is just me, I might be called crazy for this, but sometimes passing it around and just wearing down the opposition and not letting them have a touch is just as mentally killing as it would be if we went and scored 3, 4, 5 goals? Because I know on paper it says 1-0, but I think if you watch that game, if you are a Forest player, an honest one at least, Morgan Gibbs-White, you say that was one of those where we just got battered, didn't we? We did just get battered and we weren't going to get a game, get a touch of that ball. I'll start with you, Maz. What do you think?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, do you know what I noticed yesterday was with the way we played, you could tell Nottingham Forest players were getting frustrated because of the challenges they were putting in. So like that Dominguez had that pretty bad challenge. Obviously, Omadabile, I want to say, is how you say it. He was lucky to stay on the pitch, in my opinion. I think he could have got sent off quite easily with 2 yellow cards. So you could tell that the players were getting frustrated. Even that Murillo, when he cleared it and he booted it, I think it was Dunkey, and he just booted it out, and we ended up getting a goal kick for it. Like, you could just tell they're a bit wound up. I think they were getting frustrated by the lack of possession. And I think sometimes that sort of, I think, Jack, you might have mentioned it yesterday on Twitter. I think that man management that De Zerbi showed, like, being able to see the game out, even though at 1-0, it could be very precarious. And don't get me wrong, Origi had that chance, didn't he, to make it 1-1, you know, when he was through on goal. So they definitely had their opportunities, but I thought we handled the game really well, and we frustrated them into submission, I suppose, which sometimes, like Jack said earlier, we haven't done enough of. Sometimes you just want to see, just back to basics, just get a win, get the 3 points and move on and go on to Thursday. Obviously, we're looking very unlikely to turn that one around, but
believe
I'm with you, Jack. I'm a believer, mate. But look, it puts us in a much better headspace, a much better atmosphere going into Thursday. I think that was the key thing, getting the 3 points, getting a win. And you could see even after the game, you know, players were much more upbeat and much more better mood. So even if we, you know, go on to win the game 1-2-0 in Roma on Thursday, I'll take that, because again, it just means for the next game we're just bringing that confidence back up.
Yeah, agree. Jack, yourself, is it a case of, you know, passing it around a little bit? Obviously, it's not going to work on Thursday. Of course, it's not. But for the rest of this season, at least, we need to. I mean, De Zerbi said in the press conference last week that the aim is to get a European competition again. And that's not unlikely, by the way. I think it's easy to get drawn into the negativity. But when you look at the table, it's still very much there for a take in it of a Europa League place again. Do you think that's a tactic for you?
Yeah, I mean, another player I just want to shout out was, you know, a player who I've been critical of before in the past, but I thought he came on and his seeing out of the game was fantastic, which was Adam Lallana. He literally managed that game from the moment he came on. He was a bit of a shit house. He was a bit of a, you know, he didn't do it prettily, but he knew exactly what he was doing to get that point. And I think it was fantastic when we were just keeping it in the corner. Like, we were so good at that. I know this is sounding like, you know, I'm really scraping the barrel for what we're good at, but we were so good at keeping it in the corner in that.
But why don't we?
I know you look like Deitch, Jack, though. But you don't want to implore his tactics.
Yeah,
but why is it taking why haven't we done this to do it? I mean, we've complained about this for literally about a year or two, that we don't just kill games off and we don't look like we're ever confident going into that last 5 minutes, and Brighton fans have hearts in mouths for such a long period of time. We conceded a lot of stupid goals this season, and that goes without saying. But how has it taken us to this late? Maybe it's even a new thing, but I mean, the experience, as you say, that Lallana, Gross particularly showed in that last moment, Veltman was pretty good with it. You know, that's what fans want to see, even if it is very 2017 Brighton.
Yeah.
It's enough. It's what you need.
Mm.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I think that's what we needed a bit of recently. I think Lamptey was really good at stretching the game. He gave them something to think about. Him up top, sort of. I know there's been a lot of criticism of him out on the wing, but I think him coming on late, because he's so quick, they just had to mark him. You know, if the ball goes up to him, there's always a chance, and he brought in plenty of chances, and arguably we could have got a second. I mean, I think, Ryan, you mentioned on Twitter that Julio and Ciso shot. If that had gone in, I think I would have thrown the crutches to the floor and jumped off West Stand upper in celebration. So, I'm not going to do that. But do you know what? I think, you know, this all sounds a bit negative and a bit like, oh yeah, we just need to grind out results. I think that was the perfect response needed, and we can just sort of build from that and get a lot better. Like you say, the European, nobody seems to want a European place. I think last season was so different for us because we were the underdog, we were behind, we weren't expecting to get a European place to a certain extent. We were sort of, that was our winning the league title, getting a European place. And this season, it's a lot more of an expectation. and we just sort of need to take the 2.5 weeks out with the international break, let everybody go off, hopefully stay injury free, maybe get one or two back. João Pedro is probably back by the end of the international break, yeah. Who knows? Yeah, hopefully. And when he's back, we've got Liverpool, we've got some tough games coming up, we've got some easy games, we've got about, how many we got to go? 9 games to go?
I think it's 10.
You know, let's just go out 10 Jack, games. Yeah.
Well, Jack, we've got a big part to say in the title race. We play both, well, all three, Liverpool, Man City and Arsenal. So we got a lot to play for this season.
Yeah, and I think just, you know, go out in those 10 games, see what we can do. I jokingly said when I was in a pub after the game, we've got 41 points now, or 42 points now. So that does mean we should stay up. So, you know, this was my expectation for the season. My expectation for the season was, well, what I said would be a good season was still in the hunt for Europe, have a decent enough run in Europa League. And I think we've had a good run in Europa League. To win the group is a massive achievement. And to go out in the knockouts. If we do go out, we still could be in it. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
But to do that has been really good. And then, you know, if we finish 9th or 10th, maybe it's not amazing, but we've got to show. I think it's more not showing that we can get Europe again, but showing that we're still in the conversation about Europe. And I think we'll be in the conversation about Europe to the end of the season for sure.
I think for me, even if we get Conference League, just to be in Europe, and I think with Tony Bloom's statement, was it a couple of weeks ago now, him saying that he's going to invest heavily and wants us to be an established European side, just purely for that fact, and to be able to attract bigger players and better players, I think, Conference League for me is what I would bite your hand off if you told me we're getting Conference League next season, just to be in Europe. I think it's really, really key just for the development and the progression of the football club as well.
I think more so it's just I agree. It's it, but like I said, it's the conversation, isn't it? It's do they see us as, like, you know, you could see us like Swansea. I know when they got European, they had a really good run. They got to the knockouts. I think they won their group as well. But then the season straight after, they finished about 17th that same season that they got to the knockouts. So, you know, they're just scraping to stay up. And then you look at
that. Well, it was like West Ham last season, isn't it?
Yeah, or West Ham last season, where they really struggled. And if it wasn't for them winning the Conference League, then they would have probably, you know, not got Europe again. So I think it's just about showing that, you know, yeah, maybe we haven't got Europe again, but we're still part of that upper Premier League group rather than the lower part of the Premier League group, which is, you know, down in the doldrums where you're struggling to get results. So
I agree with you. I think that's maybe been a bit underrated maybe from Brighton this season. I think possibly again that argument of it's actually been a better season than last season on the basis of what we've had to go through, players we've lost, injuries we've had, toughness of weeks that we've had, we've never experienced in the club's history before. So I think there's a lot of perspective this season. I think if we do finish in that top eight, it will go down as a bigger achievement probably than the one last season finishing in the top six. But as you rightly say, there's a lot of teams that seem to just don't want it. You know, one week I think Manchester United are awful, then they win the following. Newcastle the same. Villa got whacked 3-0 the other day. So there's a lot of teams there that are there for the taking. West Ham,
I think.
There you go. Same wavelength there.
Yeah. I was going to say West Ham are a big one, I think, just seem to not want it. I know a few West Ham fans, I'm always talking to them about it. And it seems like, I spoke to one in a pub yesterday and I was like, you know, you can beat Arsenal at the Emirates, like arguably the best team this season, in my opinion, the best team I've seen Brighton play. They've beaten West Ham at the Emirates, beaten Arsenal at the Emirates, and then draw 2-2 to Burnley and Sheffield United. It's a strange one, I have to say.
Yeah, I agree. And again, this is the thing. I think we've still been pretty consistent all season. I think only barring the last three games, I mean, where people have got really negative. I've seen some crazy calls on social media. Again, I'm not saying you can't have your own opinions towards managers, etc. But at the same time, you know, when you look at us in comparison to West Ham, who've obviously spent a lot more money, a lot better team than us in terms of stature, etc. You know, you'd expect them to be in that top six, probably, rather than, if you were to be unbright and biased, you would say we shouldn't be there. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of perspective to take, and I think yesterday's a big platform for us, I hope, anyway. By the way, Maz, are we going to cover Europa League in this? Because I'm trying my best not to mention Thursday, but if I'm being honest with you, mate, it's all that's on my mind.
Yeah, we can do it. Why not?
Yeah, sorry, Ben. but no, I just think it's worth noting, because a lot of the confidence that we're going to take on the back of that game leads to a lot of questions on the front of this next game. Where, look, okay, I know it's unlikely. I know that the demon in the back of everyone's head is saying it's not going to happen. But as far as I'm concerned, we're still in the Europa League. As far as I'm concerned, we're not out yet. As far as I'm concerned, there's 90 minutes of football still to play. And also, as far as I'm concerned, I've seen Brighton score 4 goals at the Amex quite a few times. And I've certainly seen us go into halftime 3-0 up. So, Jack, I'm just going to ask you this question, mate. Genuinely, how will you be feeling as a sober man if we do go into the first 25 minutes 2-0 up?
Well, actually, my end of antibiotics ends on Thursday, so I can drink alcohol again on Thursday. So we're fucking back. We're so fucking back. But no, what are they going to say? Yeah, so yeah, go on. You got to believe, haven't you? You know, I think it's going to be an uphill battle. We're probably going to concede. So let's say 5-0. 6-1 is what we're going to have to do. You know, it's a hell of a task. I think I was on Sky News and said it this morning that I believe we can do it. And you got to believe, haven't you? You got to believe. I think two-legged football is something that we're not really very used to as Brighton. We haven't done that in a very long time, since maybe the playoffs, when we had to come from behind from 2-0 down, wasn't it, with Sheffield United. We gave that a bloody good go. What I want us to do is I want us to just give it a go and show that we give it a try. You know, I think Ryan alluded to it earlier. Maybe we don't do the 4-0, but if we give it a go at 2 or 3-0, that'll be really good. I think we had a nightmare evening in Rome, some more than others. and it's... Let's try put that right, because we've got to believe in this squad. And I think it was a little bit of fatigue in Rome, just fatigue of the season, of the way we play. And yeah, I think let's give it a go. Let's show them that we do have a right to be here, and that we aren't just getting passed about by difficult teams. And
yeah,
let's do it. Let's do it. I think there's not a lot to say, really. I don't think there's too much you can analyse with it. I've seen us score 3 before, but I've also, most of the times where we've scored 3 in the first half, we've gone on to concede a goal in the second half. So, and not quite keep the clean sheet. So, you know, that is what we seem to be very good at doing. So, you know, hopefully we just go out with a really attacking team and show them what for. And then we got 2.5 week break, which I think will be really good for the squad. Really, really good for the squad.
I mean, Maz, it's worth saying, actually, because obviously Facundo didn't come on the other day. Seemed like maybe he just took it a little bit easy, maybe. There's a couple of opportunities where Tarek Lamptey could have been played through. There was maybe a couple of opportunities where maybe we could have punished a little bit more, but maybe just laid back a tiny bit, probably because we didn't have to at times. Perhaps, you know, maybe reading too much into it, but it seemed a little bit conservative by the usual De Zerbi standards. Maybe saving for Thursday, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, like you guys say, look, I'm a bit of a pessimist. You know, when you're 4-0 down from the first leg, it does become difficult to be an optimist. However, I think if your manager doesn't believe, then what's the point? Like, you have to have a belief, right? So if the squad don't have that belief, if the players don't have it, the manager, even Tony Bloom, then what's the point? You might as well not be in football. So someone's got to believe, and it's got to be the players and the manager. And yeah, you never know. If we score early, you know, the atmosphere will change, the team will feel more confident, and yeah, if you go 2-0, maybe even 3-0 up at halftime, you never know what can happen. But yeah, like Jack's mentioned, we do concede, so you're probably having to look to score more than 4 in most likely. And also, do you know what's really going to kill me is, let's say we win the game 3-0, because you know it's just that one more goal and you could have taken it to extra time. So yeah, it's a weird one. You want to win 3, well, you want to win 4-0, but if you get, it's going to be gutting if we get that little bit, just, you know, fall short of making that incredible comeback. How will that affect us? But like Jack says, we have got 3 week, well, 2.5 week break. So regardless of what happens, if we go crashing out or we're doing some incredible, you know, comeback, then we get 2.5 weeks to bring some key players back and really then hit it after that period and maybe go on to achieve an incredible season. You never know.
I don't think it's as impossible as maybe it looks because of how freely we score and have scored in the past. I think the only difference is...
I love how optimistic you are here. I love it.
Listen.
It's borderline delusion,
but we'll take it.
I think the thing is, Maz, everyone calls you crazy until it all comes off and then everyone says that was brilliant. So I don't know. I think the difference is we don't have João Pedro, we don't have Mitoma. Them two on their own are capable of scoring 4 goals. And I think that's what really weighs heavy with our goal scoring abilities. And that's what unfortunately always brings me back down to earth. I'm like, oh, you know, at least if we had João, I think I actually would fancy a scoring of quite a few goals. But yeah, as it happens, we don't. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Evan Ferguson is still touted as one of the best young strikers in the world, or at least if you listen to social media, he certainly was. Actually, I'm just going to give him some praise because I thought he was an improvement against Nottingham Forest. I thought, compared to how he has been recently, I thought he put himself about better. I thought his overall passing was better. So that was good to see. Just need him to start scoring again. But don't get me wrong, he is 19 years old. Just to ask one question, Jack and Maz, I'd imagine... Actually, I don't know. It might not be such a quick question, but was it a red card on Jakub Moda? I'll start you, Jack.
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah. I think it was, and that's... This is probably sober Jack talking here. Where I sit and where I stand up, and we get a replay of... Because I sit right behind the commentators, so we see all the commentator booth with all their replay technology. And they see it, so that's quite nice. I get a little replay of everything. And at the time, I was astonished that he wasn't sent off for that. But I think it's one of those decisions where I think if the referee had given a red on the pitch, there would have been no doubt. It's the same as the Billy Gilmore one. If Billy Gilmore was given a yellow on the pitch for his tackle, he wouldn't have been sent off. But the fact is, on this one, I think the referee did the right thing and gave the yellow, which was his gut feeling, and then waited to see if VAR would say it was clear and obvious that it wasn't a yellow. And I don't think it was clear and obvious it was a yellow. I think he's 2 feet off the ground, which was very silly, studs up, but he did, just before he tackled, bring the stud down rather than going full on into the shin and sort of went more into his knee to make it look not as bad. It was still a bad challenge, don't get me wrong. And I think if I was a referee on the pitch, I probably would have been given a red on the first seeing of it, just like with the naked eye. But I think it makes sense to me why he didn't get sent off. And Morgan Gibbs-White can moan about the decision, and I understand that, and so can Nuno. But I think Nuno needs to take a look at himself and ask himself why. And this is actually coming from a Forest fan, I know. You know, Nuno can blame the refereeing decisions, but why didn't he start his best front three? Why did he not start Callum Hudson-Odoi, who's been on really good form for them? Why didn't he start Awonmi, who's done really well this season? There's a lot of questions where they've sort of deflected. I think that was ultimately a pretty poor performance onto VAR.
Awonmi was injured, though. I think he was coming back from injury, I think, Awonmi.
Yeah, of course. But Alanga. Alanga's another great option.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Alanga's caused us a... Yeah.
Yeah. Also, as well, yeah, on yeah, that, Maz, like you, I said earlier in the pod, they were lucky to... Yeah, oh yeah, 100% a red card for me. I think we've got away with one there. There's not really much to add for me on that. But, like I said earlier, I think Omaledebide, again, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, but he should have been set off. I think, in my opinion, he had 2 yellow cards. Well, the first one given, obviously, and then I think he was lucky to get away with the second one. It was on Ansu again. And I feel like Ansu gets a lot. He gets a lot of, you know, really, really big challenge. I remember in that Sheffield United game, do you remember, when he just got clattered left, right and centre? Yeah, and then you obviously had it yesterday as well, where he was getting pretty much some big challenges from Nottingham Forest players. And yeah, rightly so, a yellow card for the first and two fatty challenge. And then, yeah, in my opinion, he should have got a second yellow for the second challenge of Antu Fati. So, yeah, I think Forest got away with one as well. So I suppose you could say, you know, maybe evens there. But yeah, for me, Moda was a straight red, fair. And he was lucky to get away with it.
Mate, first time happened from the West Upper, I shouted, "That's not a foul." I thought he completely won the ball. I got caught in one of those, you know, where you say something and no one agrees with you and everyone's sort of looking at you kind of weird. And I thought, oh, was I that wrong? And you know, when you just sort of, you see something and you're like, I don't think that actually was a foul. And I was so convinced that it wasn't a foul until obviously I looked back at it a bit later on. I thought, well, maybe that was a little bit dodgy.
Well, On that thought, Ben.
I did that with Gilmore,
Ben,
as well.
Sorry, Ryan. There's one that I've done this season. I haven't done a podcast for a while, so I didn't tell you. The challenge I did that with, where I shouted quite loudly in the stand, "Get up, Mitoma," was Mason Holgate's challenge on him. I did not believe that was a red card. I thought it was a pretty innocuous challenge, Jesus. And I shouted, "Get up, Mitoma." And then I saw the replay, and then I went, oh, yeah, fair enough. That was a red card challenge.
You shout back to everyone saying, "I'm very sorry, I didn't say that."
Yeah, yeah, it happens to the best of us, Ryan. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I must admit, on re-watching it, it is. I think a harsh, like a very bad yellow card is okay. Like, I wouldn't be completely screaming from the rooftop saying this red card is a horror challenge. I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was bad. I think, as you say, if he gave a red, I would have been a bit like, okay, watched it back and say, okay, maybe I could see that was straight legged, was off the ground. As you say, Jack, he sort of brought it back down. For me, I don't know. Maybe I'm being really, really, really harsh here, but I thought a yellow was actually okay, even after watching it back. I thought it's just one of them where it's the cliche of orange card, but I thought that's where it probably was on the spectrum for me.
I think it's one of those where, I think, like I said, if it's given as a red, you can't really argue it, but if it's given as a yellow, there's no real reason to overturn it, which is how I like VAR working to a certain extent, as much as it annoys me.
Last thing on it for me is, I don't know if you guys seen the John McGinn tackle in the Spurs game, and I thought, for me, that was a really harsh red card. Do you know what it is? I just feel like, just as a blanket statement, the referees are just a shambles, to be honest. So I just think there's not enough rules, as in, there's one rule for one team, one rule for one player. There's just not enough consistency for me, and that's my biggest frustration. Is like, why is one a red card and why is the other not? It's just no consistency.
Yeah, see, this is it for me. For me,
I think this is a problem.
Go ahead,
Ryan. You probably
I think with reds, it's like it has to be the intent for me. And I think, you know, look, I don't make rules on PG or whatever you call it. But for me, it's, you know, if someone's going in there to hurt someone, i.e. Holgate, red card. Gilmore's, you know, again, was that question of yellow, red, again, it's in the air, because it was, Gilmore didn't go in to kill him, did he? He didn't go in to really hurt him. He sort of just misjudged his challenge and gone too high. Same with Moda's. And yeah, I don't know. I think with McGinn's, for example, he's charged it in from about 20 yards away and just gone, do you know what, have it, because he's fed up. And that's where it's a bit like, yeah, probably you'll be looking at a red because he's gone and charged it in. But I see what you're saying, Maz. He's not endangered him. He's not really hurt him, of course. But I think the intent there is only to hurt him and not to get the ball at all. But that's just my look on reds from someone that doesn't play at the top level, and my opinion doesn't matter whatsoever to referees.
I actually agree exactly with what Ryan said, to be honest. That's what I was going to say. I do think he was a little harsh, because you look back at that McGinn one now and you see that he doesn't really studs up him. He just sort of kicks his leg. I've done that in five-a-side. I actually really hurt my foot the other week doing that to a mate in five-a-side. But I hurt myself more than anyone, which is another example of my amazing footballing ability. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's about intent a little bit. But I don't know. I think this is why I just think we should do away with VAR. It's still just a referee's interpretation.
Yeah, exactly.
The referees ref the game rather than worry about that. Train them better. Train them better to have these situations, because that's the thing with referees. They're so different. And instead of focusing on VAR being crap, we should focus on the referees need to get better. And letting them referee is the best way to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's it, isn't it? I mean, you know, I've always said this, the phrase clear and obvious is subjective. But, you know, that is
on mute, Ryan,
a subjective statement. Oh, can you...
Back.
I'm not on mute, but...
Oh, no, you're back. You're back.
Yeah? Okay, I'll re-say it anyways.
You're back, yeah.
The phrase clear and obvious to me, and I don't know if you guys agree with this, but it's a subjective phrase. You know, that to you, that to me, that to Jack, it means something different. But anyway, we'll leave the VAR conversations, because otherwise we'll just go around in circles. But that's,
you know, the clear and obvious for me is that Joey Barton challenge. Not to bring up something, and obviously it's always fun to rag on Joey Barton. So that Joey Barton challenge he did on Kai Au years ago that didn't get sent off, where he literally
Oh my God.
Worst challenges I've ever seen. So that's a clear and obvious one. I just thought, yeah, get a little Joey Barton dig in, you know, might as well.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah. But I mean, I used to hate him as a player, I remember so much. I don't know if you guys ever get the chance, rewatch his interview talking in hindsight about that Man City QPR game. And mate, it's just one of the funniest things you've ever listened to in the worst way possible. Anyway, thank you boys for joining me for the craziness of the Europa League and a bit of Forest as well. Red card, you name it, we've been talking about it. Jack, thank you for joining us again, of course, mate. Been an absolute pleasure. Maz, yourself too. We'll see you.
No worries.
We won't see you just before Athens now. Not Athens, what are we on about? Just before Roma, when we inevitably come back. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. And yeah, I don't know where Athens come from. See you for 5-0.
Can I just shout out a guy? I just want to give another shout out to one guy, which was a guy who come from, I can't remember his name now, I'm really sorry. Brighton, Massachusetts, who dropped me a message. Yeah, he was from Brighton, Massachusetts, and he dropped me a message to say that he listens to Seagull Social, and he's wishing me really well after my attack. So didn't expect that. Don't expect that from people. But and don't do it now, thinking you'll get a shout out every time you say I hope you're well, Jack. It's just because this guy did it from Brighton, Massachusetts.
Cool.
So what his name was, which I'm trying to desperately find now, but that was really nice of him, and I'm glad you're listening from elsewhere in the country, or elsewhere in the world. So that's nice to hear.
Beautiful. Right, next time I see you in Massachusetts in this country, I'll let you guys know. Hey, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you soon. And goodbye.
3 days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.